Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me, Matt Stewart. Just letting you know that me and Saran, our show, has moved. We're at the Grace Darling Hotel now at 7:15. We're in the final couple of weeks of the festival. We'd love to see you there. We had so much fun at the Chinese Museum, but now we're at a new venue. It's a pub. Let's have a beer. I'd love to see you there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we go through primates in popular culture from Chimpan A all the way down to Chimpan Z. This week on the show, returning to the Monkey House, we have podcaster extraordinaire from the Sans Pants Network. It's Cass Page.
Hello, everyone. Thank you. It's good to be back.
Did I say back?
You did, yeah. Yeah.
I should have changed that from last week's script when someone was returning. Well, this would be true of you, though, second guest.
Yes.
Oh, let me switch that around. Okay, well, I'll start that again.
Okay, good.
But I do not edit. Anyway, this week on the show, for the first time in the Monkey House, we have podcaster extraordinaire from the Sans Pants Network. It's Cass Page.
Hi, it's great to meet you.
Yeah,
it's great to meet you. You did point to me, Matt, when you said that, though. You pointed directly at me.
From the top.
Okay.
One last time around.
All right.
No, I'm not doing it again.
Okay, don't do it
again. We only move forward here.
All right.
Always looking.
Like a monkey. Can't move forward, otherwise they drown.
Exactly.
Wait, yeah.
They don't, when they drive trucks, they black out their rearview mirrors because they do not look back.
That's right.
they do parallel park.
That's right.
On feel.
Yeah.
It's a classic monkey trait. Also in the Monkey House. Returning to it, we have internet celebrity and podcaster extraordinaire. It's Nick Mason.
Hello, I'm back. It's good to be back, Matt.
Is that what you asked me to call you? Extraordinaire?
No, that's not a word.
Damn it.
I said, look at this. Ordinaire. I don't know what a extraordinaire is, though.
Seems funny.
It's funny. It sounds like a thing that would live under a bridge, which is also accurate. So, yeah.
Do you have business cards yet?
I have business cards, but they're at the old website. So, I'll give you some afterwards. They're in my glove box. So.
Great.
Now get them updated. Trodenair.
Trodenair. Well,
check out this guy with his fancy glove box.
That's right.
But he's got a whole heap of gloves in there.
That's right.
Jerk. Hey, thanks so much for coming back.
Absolutely.
It's our third time here in the Monkey House.
Third time's the charm. We're going to get a good one eventually.
Do you have an update on your favorite primate?
Well, last time was the silverback gorilla.
Yep.
It remains the silverback gorilla, I think. But I haven't really been introduced to any new primates.
That's my fault.
Yeah, I know. You should.
That's on me.
You should send a newsletter around
has
all the latest
That's
and greatest
a fun idea.
Advances in primate technology.
Every month I'll send out an email with a new new primate to explore.
Yeah.
I'm mate of the month.
Mate of the month.
That's very good. I like it a lot.
All right. Yeah.
You can only find monkeys who want friends. Sometimes you don't want to expand your social circle. You want to focus on the friends you've already got.
That's true. Mm. You know, I'm getting older. I don't have time for the friends I got. Do you think I can handle an extra monkey?
No.
Or ape or otherwise.
No, don't have time to learn Auslan. Mm.
Exactly.
Or if like China does some sort of experimentation, they produce a new form of primate, maybe something like that.
Is that on the cards?
Can't rule it out, can you? And if I got the newsletter, I'd know, wouldn't I?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So I do apologize for it.
But then I would have a new primate to enjoy.
Yeah. You would. So the silverback gorilla, obviously.
I'm very whispery today. I'm not sure why. I'm
Wow, you're just sensual. It's a sensual vibe.
That's right.
ASMR.
Yeah.
Australian speaking monkeys. Really good.
Yeah.
So that sort of stuff. Monkey. Yeah.
Well, this has descended into madness very quickly. And I'm on board.
Normally takes longer than this. But the silverback gorilla, that's the boss.
of the gorilla tribe. So you're not even going like a species of gorilla. You've gone for a specific role in gorilla society.
Is that what it is? I actually don't know.
I'm telling you.
Okay, then.
I'm an amateur primatologist.
Is that just a regular gorilla that's gotten really old? Is that
I think when they become the head honcho, their backs go silver, I know.
Because of stress?
Stress, yeah. Well. They got the whole tribe on their shoulders. Right?
Okay.
And often they number in multiples.
Wow.
Two plus.
So, my goodness.
Yeah, they actually get around in pretty big groups.
Do they later turn into the male pattern baldness gorilla? Is that what happens? Is it more stress?
Totally. I mean, if you've seen the Planet of the Apes reboots, you'd notice that Kulba he has a bit of thinning on the top.
So. That's true, yeah.
And he's obviously lived a pretty stressful life. So.
That's true.
Distinguished.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure.
Isn't it unfair that male gorillas become distinguished and female gorillas are just old? You know what I mean? It's yet more unrealistic body standards for female gorillas.
Totally.
And I'm against it.
Thank you. But I should say I'm the feminist on this podcast, so just back off a little
bit. Sorry, I forgot about that.
So thank you. I'm leaning in. You lean out.
Okay, I should lean out.
I'm encouraging women to lean in. I'm staying back, but I'm being loud about it.
Okay.
Hey, I don't know what to do.
Well, you should just wait your turn.
Okay.
Because I'll be the feminist around here.
Thank you so much.
No worries.
It's good to have an ally.
Yeah, I'm an ally, so I'll talk. So you don't need to. That's what any great male feminist will do. Anyhow, what is your favorite primate, Cass?
Mine is the Japanese macaque.
Oh, very good.
Which perhaps. Maybe a bit of a mainstream answer, but if you're not familiar, they're the ones that are famously captured photographically. No, you don't edit.
No editing.
They're snow monkeys, so they're photographed in the hot springs in Japan.
Oh, they have a little bath.
Yeah, they're the ones, and I think what I love about them is that if you look at photos, they don't look like they're relaxing because of stress. They look like they're busy relaxing. Like they're still getting all of their meditation in. They look calm. But if they look like if they're interrupted, they'll be like, I'm just really busy. I cannot.
Yeah.
It's perfect. They've got little calm faces. They're focusing so hard.
They're intensely calm, aren't they? Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so nice.
We had an audience voted episode called The Primate of the Year 2018.
Oh.
And I don't want to spoil it for you, but the Japanese macaques, or macaques as they're also known here, did very well.
Oh, good.
Top of the pops.
It's kind of a spoiler then, isn't it?
Edit that bit out, Matt, in future. Okay. Redacted.
What happens if next year are they out of the running for next year?
I haven't thought about that yet. Okay. Maybe they should be.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you can only win it once. Kind of like the Barry Award.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I remember the Arias had a viewer voted award for Artist of the Year, and Silverchair won it like 6 years in a row. And one year they just caught up and collected their award and went, we didn't do anything this year. We didn't release any albums. But thank you.
Oh, so, that's awkward.
Well, if it's the macaque every year, that's going to be embarrassing for them.
That's true. The macaque, in recent news, Hitmonkey, who's a Japanese macaque, is getting his own series.
That's true,
on Hulu, I think.
Animated, yeah.
Yeah, which is fun. Ooh. Along with your man, Howard the Duck.
That's correct,
Or your duck, I suppose, more technically. Mesa, on one of our other podcasts, he told us all about Howard the Duck on an episode a little while back. Fascinating character.
Ooh.
But not a primate.
But not a primate, so we'll not be spoken about any
further. Stricken from the record.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Can we strike or redact that?
Let's redact it, yes.
Future me. So this week we're actually talking about Japanese macaque. That's so good. You are at one with our listenership.
Thank you. I'm the people's primate.
You're an amateur primatologist. I think as soon as you set foot in this room, you become an amateur primatologist.
Is that what you're – because look – a lot. We talked about this earlier. A lot of reviews are like, I don't know why this podcast exists, but I'm very glad it does. Does this exist because you want to get some sort of honorary degree?
Yeah.
Some sort of honorary zoology degree? You think it'll be...
like some sort of honorary double in media zoology.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That is now on my list of goals.
Good.
It wasn't before.
Uh-huh.
You talk about it like I've thought this through at all.
Oh, I didn't think of that. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. There's been no forward thinking on this.
Terrific.
I'm one of those cartoons that's chucking rail tracks in front of me as I'm cruising along. So this week we're going to be talking about a great new series on Netflix called The Umbrella Academy. And this all came about because of a tweet I received from Cass.
Oh, yes. So this, well, it was actually a tweet that you retweeted with a screenshot of Pogo from the Umbrella Academy. And then you retweeted this saying that we are now living in a post 9/11 golden age of primates on television, yeah, or something to that effect. And I tweeted you immediately because you are correct.
Which I didn't realize how correct I was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I mean, obviously I had a feeling it was pretty correct.
Oh, yes. But yeah, how correct were you?
Well, this, do you want me to read the message, or you can read it, I suppose. It's you.
Okay,
it
let's
is
read
your,
it.
Your words.
Mm. Okay. Hi, Matt. My name's Cass. I work at Sans Pants, and I apologize that this will be your first impression of me. Perhaps you were intentionally making the joke, but you were bang on about living in a post 9/11 age of primates in relation to the Umbrella Academy. The Umbrella Academy comics were written by Gerard Way, the lead singer of My Chemical Romance, a band that formed in response to 9/11. Before that, Way had secured an internship at Cartoon Network, but had his pitch of The Breakfast Monkey rejected. Just as a side note, The Breakfast Monkey was meant to be it was about a superhero monkey that encouraged kids to have breakfast, something along those lines. Gerard Way's life trajectory seemed to change from artist to writer/singer after witnessing the attack. He didn't illustrate the Umbrella Academy, the comic books. So one could argue that the Umbrella Academy and Way's realized vision of a primate on TV could only exist in a post 9/11 world. He tried to get a monkey on TV before 9/11. The towers fell, he got a monkey on TV. If we could make a choice, it would never have happened, but that's how history went.
Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
Technically
that's
correct.
Yeah, it is correct.
I could not believe that. I didn't know any of that.
So your dozens of references to 9/11 on this podcast have finally borne fruit, Matt. So
yes.
That's great.
I knew I was working towards something deep down.
Wow.
But yeah, that was fascinating. I didn't even know Gerard Way had any involvement. When I tweeted that, I didn't know what the show was. Someone just tweeted a photo of a chimp at me. I'm like, holy shit, there's another chimp on TV.
So, Cass, were you a fan of My Chemical Romance?
Yeah, so I think this was sort of like a part of the argument was that I only bought, I mean, I wasn't into comics that much, but I only bought the Umbrella Academy when I was younger because I really liked My Chem as a kid.
Uh-huh.
And part of the argument, sort of the theory behind the post 9/11 chimp.
Uh-huh.
Oh, chimp?
Yes.
Oh, thank God. I was so worried I was going to slip up. Was that you could argue that Gerard Way's popularity in My Chem is what got him the writer gig, or is what made the comic so popular. Because, I mean, that's my experience. That's the only reason I bought it, which I discovered watching the series. I never actually read it. I thought I did. And I was like, oh, this will be a good refresher. Uh-huh. No, every part of it was new to me.
That's incredible.
So they're just collecting dust. But yes, I was a fan of My Chemical Romance as a kid.
And he formed it in response to 9/11.
Yeah, so he was on a ferry and saw the towers fall.
Yep.
And like within 3 months of that, because he was like, I need to do something. And within 3 months of that, they released their first album. There's a song called Skyline and Turnstiles, which is about like 9/11 happening.
Yeah, right.
So he like wrote a song to that, formed that. And then this, I think it was a Noisy article I was reading just to sort of fact check myself.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, I remember this, but I just double check. They were sort of arguing that because My Chem sort of paved the way for this mainstream emo, like what we now call emo music,
uh-huh,
paved the way for bands like Fall Out Boy and like Panic at the Disco and all these other things. So it's this entire genre that spawned from this, which is, you know, again, we'd all make the choice to just not have it ever happen. But this is what has come from it.
That's true, yeah.
Any major event has that onset effect.
Yes. I wonder if the terrorists realized that they were going to create emo. I bet they didn't.
I'm sure that just I bet that didn't even go through their mind.
Yeah, they thought maybe there'd be a country western revival or something like that at worst.
Gosh,
but no, they didn't know.
They didn't realize it would result in Pogo on television.
Pogo. Right. So yeah, well, I guess we should say for people who don't know the series, Pogo is kind of the reason why we're talking about this. He's like the sort of like the chimpanzee butler.
Yeah.
What I'll do is I'll describe the show based on the IMDb description of the television adaptation first, and that gives us a grounding before we jump off from there.
This is how the sausage is made, people.
So this is it's a 10-episode series that the three of us have all watched in the last, probably less than the last week. So bloody binged it.
Yeah.
Bloody binge. It's bloody event television, isn't it? Bloody binge it.
I'm going to have a bit of a binge.
On the same...
Just one more episode, I think. Just for one more before I go to bed.
Just one more.
Oh, it's pretty light. Just one more.
Did all, yeah, do a lot of that. Just one more. No, you know, don't know what you know what I'm like.
Well, there's only one to go. Probably watch the last one. Just and then I'll have a bit of a kip, you know.
And well, we'll just go back to the start. Watch the first episode one more time, and then bed for sure. On the same day in October 1989, 43 infants are inexplicably born to random, unconnected women who showed no signs of pregnancy the day before. Seven are adopted by Sir Reginald Hargraves, a billionaire industrialist, who creates the Umbrella Academy and prepares his children to save the world. I think we're introduced to this in the show when there's a girl who's about to go swimming. She jumps in and all of a sudden she's giving birth.
Yes.
Mm. She jumps into a pool. It becomes very bloody and then she resurfaces with a giant pregnant belly.
Mm. And, I mean, you would have known sort of what was coming from that. I had no idea what this show was about. So what am I watching? What's going on?
That's like the only thing I remember from the comics was opening them as a kid and looking at the panels of all the women spontaneously giving birth. One of them was on like a train.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. See, Matt, for all you knew, this show was about umbrellas opening up inside of people.
That's what I'm like. That's what I thought.
No.
She got an umbrella inside of her?
That's right, yeah.
That's such bad luck.
Yeah.
Have you ever had someone give birth on a tram that you've been driving?
I don't believe so, no.
Do you know Mesa drives trams?
I do drive trams, yes.
That's cool. He's a triple threat. Do you get to give cool announcements?
Well, they're mostly automated now, but that's not going to stop me, is it?
Yeah,
that's right.
Ding, ding.
Yeah. It's mostly me asking if anybody's pregnant on the tram. Is anybody... Anybody going to give birth on the tram?
Yeah. Anybody? Anyone inexplicably about to give birth?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It goes on to say, not everything went according to plan, though. In their teenage years, the family fractured and the team disbanded. Now the six surviving 30-something members reunite upon the news of Hargrave's passing. Luther, Diego, Allison, Klaus, Vanya, and Number Five work together to solve a mystery surrounding their father's death. But the estranged family once again begins to come apart due to their divergent personalities and abilities, not to mention the imminent threat of a global apocalypse.
The thing about families is they don't always get along. You know that's what right. I mean?
You choose your friends. You can't choose your family.
Don't choose your bloody family, do you? You
know? And also, I mean, in this case, Hargraves did.
He did choose his family.
One person in a family gets to choose their family. Everyone else does not.
Yeah.
And if people don't know, Number Five sounds like a weird name, but they were initially all just numbered by their dad.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cold.
It seems weird that the way they've turned out, considering how terrible, you know, considering their dad purchased them for the most part.
Yeah, he did. He just bought them, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He said their families were well compensated. I'm excited to discuss many points of this. It will get spoilery.
Yeah. if it hasn't already, I mean, we've already said that... you know, that one of them's called Number Five.
Oh, no.
I went in cold. I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
And then, so that doesn't get us to the chimp, though. This is the Wikipedia description of Mr. Pogo.
Mm.
So the dad, Hargraves, is also known as the Monocle in the comic books. And that's what it says about Mr. Pogo. A talking chimp associated with the Monocle. When growing up at the academy, Space Boy, which is one of the kids, Number One, considered Pogo to be his best friend. He was also a sympathizer of Vanya's plight when she is repeatedly told by Sir Reginald that she is not special, as she has no special powers. That's Ellen Page, who's the highest billed member of the cast. She's number seven?
She's number seven, yeah.
And, has no special powers. Or at least seemingly has no special powers.
Oh, what are you implying?
I'm not implying anything. What are you saying? I'm not saying anything at all.
No,
I don't know what I'm saying. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. So Mr. Pogo in the comic book, because he doesn't have a huge role in this. I'm trying to figure out why they even bother having a chimp butler in it.
He doesn't really have that huge a role in the comic books either.
Right.
Although his name is Phineas Pogo. Did you know that?
That's I didn't know
fun
that.
Fun little fact there.
That's
for
a
you.
Beautiful name.
Yeah. It's good, right?
It is, yes.
Yeah, which is weird that, like, how did he, I wonder how he got that name, considering Hargraves didn't name the kids, but he named the monkey.
Right.
Unless he purchased the monkey and it already had a name.
Mm. Or possible. The kids named him, because Pogo is a very, like, child.
That is, isn't it? Yeah.
Accessible name. Like,
that's
when
true.
Grandparents get a weird name.
Yep, that's
and it's
true.
Like, oh, that's because the kid named me.
Yeah, that's true. I did name all of my grandparents Pogo, so that makes a lot of sense, actually.
So in the description of the Monocle, or Sir Reginald Hargraves, it does say that he was a recipient of a Nobel Prize for his work in the cerebral advancement of the chimpanzee.
That's correct, yes.
Mm.
So,
and he also invented a cereal, I think. Is that...
He's just a maniac.
Well, there's that, and then he also does the serum to make Luther a bit monkey-esque.
Right.
Or chimp-esque. I'm not really sure. They never really clarify, but yeah. Pogo does say, your blood is more like mine now.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So
there are two chimpanzees.
During the series, Luther or Space Boy, mm-hmm. they flash back to show him he gets hurt pretty badly. He becomes the only one who remains as a member of the Umbrella
Academy. So when we first see him, he's sort of this enormous man, and he keeps every part of himself covered up, like up to his fingertips. And then we discover later on that he's super hairy and super buff.
Hairier than you think lengthwise.
Yes, that's right.
And his chest looks almost like wrinkled leather in the way that a giant ape's would.
Yes.
It gets quite dark and has those weird scar wrinkles in there.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
But he also, he's really ashamed of it. But I'm like, I would have expected like something different. It feels like, oh, you're just a big buff, leathery, hairy man.
You could clean up on the internet.
They accept so much in that series. Right? Yeah. They're like, yes, check. Yes, robot mum, check. Yes, monkey butler, father figure. Yes, hairy chimpanzee boy. Butler. I'm so sorry. No.
Wow.
But isn't there, I don't know if I misheard it, but does he hook up with the girl because she's into furries?
Yeah, that's right.
For sure.
Surely they didn't exist when the comic was around. How old are furries?
I don't know. It's
a tale as old as time.
I'm gonna take the bullet for all of us while we talk about this. I'm gonna Google furries and see what happens.
Thank you so much.
Did you know that in the comic books, the origin of his weird chimp-like body is slightly different?
I did hear something about that.
Because in the comic books, he is. So in the show, he's grievously injured, and I believe Hargreaves gives him a serum that's based on Pogo, because Pogo hands him the serum, so maybe it's based on him. But in the comic book, he is severely injured, and so Hargreaves has to amputate his head and put it on the body of a Martian ape.
Right.
So he actually has a literal ape body.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Which makes a bit more sense as to why there's a storyline of him living on the moon for 4 years.
Yes, exactly.
In the TV show, but I guess in the comic book it's because his body was a space ape.
Yes, exactly.
He had a space ape body.
Yeah. You'd be like, oh, you'll do better up there. It's where you're from.
Yeah.
That makes a lot more sense as to why everyone was so much like, oh, my God, you're a monster. Like, you're not you anymore. And everyone was so shocked. It's like, he's just a bit hairy now.
And his ability was already super strength. So it's like, oh, now you're even more muscly and a bit hairy.
Yeah.
But, they did kind of joke with him as, like, at the start when they saw him again. For the first time when the family reunited, they were saying, oh, you've really grown into your body.
Yes.
Sort of like sweet jabs like that. But
you don't get to choose your family, do you?
Well.
Yeah.
Unless you adopt them.
Purchase
them all. According to fandom historian Fred Patton, the concept of furry originated at a science fiction convention in 1980.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Just in time.
Yeah.
Phew.
It's funny that a thing like furries can have a start date. It was like on that day, people were like, oh, I'm starting to feel attracted to people in fur suits. Well, could you explain what it actually is as well?
All right. this is Wikipedia, so
well, that's
lame society if this is incorrect.
No, okay. I should, before you go on, I'll explain to listeners. Wikipedia is like a website online that you can go to. It's sort of like a resource, and it's pretty handy.
Are you sure? I could check Wikipedia to determine. Oh,
yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. The furry fandom is a subculture interested in anthropomorphic animal characters with human personalities and characteristics.
That's a really short Wikipedia article.
Yeah, that's it. That's the whole thing. However, fans consider the origins of furry fandom to be much earlier, with fictional works such as Kimba the White Lion, released in 1965, Watership Down, published in 1972, as well as Disney's Robin Hood as oft-cited examples.
Because he's the fox.
He's a fox.
He's a real fox, you know what I mean? People do talk about that fox a lot.
So much.
Yeah.
I've seen that in TV. I think in Kimmy Schmidt, she references having sexual feelings toward the fox that were confusing as a child.
I've heard Nala as well a lot, the Simba's girlfriend in
The Lion King.
Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. So cool. Very whatever. Whatever. Hey.
Whoa. Exactly.
Hey,
yeah. Whoa. Cool. It's cool. Hey, it's all cool. Whoa. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm down. Cool.
Everyone's
whatever.
Fine.
Yeah, we're all fine about it.
Cool. Yeah.
There's nothing. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no crossover between furries and primates, the podcast. There can't be.
Well, there is now. This episode may end up just being called Furries.
Yeah.
Which is cool with me.
If you're a furry out there, let us know. Let Matt know, specifically.
Yeah.
And what your favorite primate is.
Yeah.
Your anthropomorphized primate. Or if it's not anthropomorphized.
I like a trailer.
If it's just regular.
Yeah. Yeah. What does Mr. Pogo do for you? Anything? Nothing. Please, tweet in.
There are some cool points about Mr. Pogo as well. Like you were saying, like, what's the point of him even being there? I was discussing this with someone after we were sort of watching the series. This, by creating Pogo, so Hargreaves is like creating this life for him where he has control of every aspect and he essentially lives alone. So he creates Pogo, like this monkey who's, I guess, in his
chimp.
Oh, no. So Pogo is a chimp.
You get three and then you're booted from the podcast.
Oh, no, I'm down to two. But yeah. did my correct classification of chimp before get me a pass?
Well, Mesa is the final ruler on
the
these
final
things.
Arbiter, but I think so, yes. Okay,
okay, I've got one.
You got two more strikes. Okay, yeah.
I think Pogo's a really good device
I've never lasted a full episode. I've been kicked out two other times.
No!
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, it doesn't look good. You've had so many goes.
And I've made my own rules. So I don't know why.
It's normally, he'd be like, oh, I got to go. Anyway, monkey, 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 laters.
It's a good way to just get out of any situation. Yes, Pogo is very much like the kids' sort of only father figure. They have their mum figure and they've got Pogo, and neither of them are completely like paternal or maternal figures to them in the way that one would expect them to be. It's all they got, so it's what they deal with. Mm. But what Hargreaves has done is set up a situation where he's chosen his family, essentially picked everyone around him, not given the kids anything real. But because he's also chosen the kids and raised them in a certain way, he kind of lives alone.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
He's managed to isolate himself in such a way.
Mm. Does that mean he loves the kids?
Well, there was that nice flashback at the end where it's sort of like, does he?
Yeah.
Because he was like, I'll kill myself. It's the only way. And it's like, oh, goodness. But he only does it to save the world.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe he has a vision. I mean, if it's from, you know, another planet or whatever, maybe he has a vision and a destiny and something he's chasing beyond Earth in the same way that number five is like, it doesn't matter if a few people die, if we save everyone. He's like,
right.
I don't care about Earth. I need to get back to my old planet.
That's true.
Oh, what?
Yeah, he's got to poochie it. He's got to get back to his home planet. But I guess so. Like maybe if he's made Pogo, maybe if he does love the kids, but he can't show it. So maybe that's why he's made Pogo and why he's made Mom. Because he's like,
true.
Okay, well this is how I express, because I can't tell them. So I'm going to build to people that will. Maybe that's the key. I don't know.
That is true. And they do look into that in the show where they're talking to the mum and they're like, I don't know if that's you or if it's dad.
Yeah.
That was a cool idea. Yeah. It's true. So the mum robot created by the dad, she's very loving. Is that the dad, you know, maybe it's just toxic masculinity.
Oh, he's not sure.
He doesn't know how to show his emotions.
So we've all built a robot to express our emotions, haven't we, you know, because we can't do it ourselves.
Should we go through all the characters? We're dropping a few names. I think maybe we should explain who the key players are. So we've talked about the monocle.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
It's Reginald Hargreaves. And number one is Space Boy, aka Luther. He's the strong man with the space chimp body.
The heart of gold and the body of a ape. Yeah, good for him.
Heart of gold, back of silver.
Yeah, it's I love it.
That's very good.
Oh, thank you.
And then
that's going on a t-shirt.
Hey!
Yeah. Everything you say in this, I own the copyright too.
Oh, no, that's fair.
All,
you can
all
have
words. Yeah. And we've said your name, so that's
that.
Mine now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I should have read that contract, eh?
Number two, and they're sort of ranked in order of power as well.
And usefulness to him, to Hargreaves, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Did they change at all?
Well, I don't know, because how do you determine that as a baby?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, when
maybe
do they show
maybe you didn't even number him for years.
Right. Yeah, you just... All right. Yeah, he started with names, went back to numbers.
Yeah.
No, the mum named them.
The mum, right.
But they must not have gotten names until after number five left, because he never got one.
That's true.
That's true, yeah.
And even after he returns, they don't go, hey, let's have a chat. What kind of name do you want to be known as? The whole universe knows him as number five. Number two is the Kraken, aka Diego. His skills kind of...
The Kraken?
He can throw... anything and make it curve in any way. Normally knives. He's a knife man.
Why is he called the Kraken?
I'm not sure.
I can answer that one. Okay. In the comic books, he can breathe underwater.
That's
or he can hold his breath forever, I think, is maybe the key. So
how do you find that out as a child?
That's true, yeah.
On the Wikipedia, it says he's more of a Batman-like superhero and that he goes on regular patrols and could be seen taking down drug dealers. In his teenage years...
Oh, here's a fun fact. I'm aware of this fact. I'm ready
He was a bass player in a band called The Primates.
Oh, wow.
There's the gig poster.
It's it's called I Don't Want to Kill the President. That's amazing. And there's a chimp in there, right?
Yeah.
This is a conspiracy.
He's in the band with Vanya, number 7.
He's in the band with Vanya, yeah.
Vanya, sorry.
Oh.
He's also seen to be left-handed.
Oh, all right.
Notable.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they could have left off that last sentence. Then number 3 is The Rumor, who's Allison. Described as narcissistic, she has the ability to instantly alter reality by lying. So she, in the TV show, at least, she says, I heard a rumor that, and then whatever she says, people will... do that. And she was shown to have overused that as a mother. And that kind of broke up her family.
Would you use that ability?
I wouldn't. Oh, I don't know. That's a tricky one. That is a tricky one. Yeah, I don't know. It'd be hard not to, but as soon as you break the seal with it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
It would be hard to stop using it. She's using it for a kid to say, hey, I heard a rumor that you're real tired and you want to go to sleep now.
Yeah.
So if you're using it for the small things like that, then when do you stop?
Exactly. Yeah. It's a lot like wishes. Like you'd have to word it very specifically. If you were just like off the cuff, I heard you're real tired and you want to go to sleep, maybe the kid falls into a coma. You know?
Yeah, that's right. Monkey paw style. Yeah.
Well, she does call them wishes in the first like episode of the show, which was confusing for a while.
Yes.
Because I couldn't work out why she kept saying I had a rumor if she could just make a wish.
Right.
But I guess she was using that more of a metaphor, like I made wishes, they came true. Again, monkey paw style.
Well, I don't like metaphor. Just put it all out on the table for us.
And what?
Literally, not metaphorically.
Thank you. Write it down and put it piece of paper on the table.
That's right.
With those words he said, literally.
Yes.
Why is there a superpower being given that means she's got to say a phrase? Like,
yeah.
And what what part of evolution leads to that happening?
Good question.
I literally just assume that it's habit for her now and it's her way of announcing it.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Totally.
But then why risk it at the end?
Really announcing it, aren't you?
Yeah. I guess.
Hey, I'm about to control you.
Maybe she has to say it for the big stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Feels like it's the kind of thing she should just be able to think.
What?
But we find out she can't because she loses her power to talk.
Uh-huh.
But every other character a couple of other characters seem to have like level one of their power and then they can sort of go super.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
So maybe her thing, and with Vanya's thing of she needs to be able to control her powers through music, like she has to focus on a sound of resonation to actually get it out. Uh-huh. Maybe for her, that's her way she channels it.
Yeah, right.
Like for her, she's the way Vanya was trained to, she was trained to channel it through music. Maybe she was trained to channel it through a phrase.
Right. That makes sense.
Because that guy, that fake dad, definitely did a lot to those children.
Yeah, he did.
He was a bad guy, especially just like the worst thing he did, I reckon, was when they came in and asked him a question, he'd say, without looking up from his notebook, he'd just say something like, yeah, whatever. What a jerk. Just like eye contact, the basic things, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe a hug?
That's right. You never look down at your notebook, man.
No, I never do. Never, ever. Never do. Next thing I'm looking at on my notebook here.
You've changed, Matt. You've really changed.
The other thing in the rumor, Allison is a huge Hollywood celebrity in the TV show. Is that true in the comics as well?
I think so.
Right.
Again, it's been a number of years.
She's so famous that there's parts where she's like at the library just working away and no one's talking to her. I'm like, that's weird for such a huge star. Then in another episode, she's talking to a cop with sunglasses on. Doesn't notice. She takes them off and he's like, oh, Allison Hargraves. Could it be? Yeah. So I don't know. It makes it out like she's the biggest star in the world.
Mm.
I thought she was like in movies because the way people spoke about her, they always had a bit of a like, oh, you're in that Sandra Bullock movie, yeah?
Oh, yeah, right. Uh-huh.
No, yeah, true. That's true. Yeah, you wouldn't say to the biggest star in the world, hey, you were in that Sandra Bullock movie,
you'd
huh?
say, you're Sandra Bullock, the biggest star in the world.
That's right.
You're in Speed 2.
I didn't fully get that joke. I assume that's a joke at Sandra Bullock's expense or something, but I didn't quite piece it together.
I have no idea. I really like when movies have to make fake bands or fake anything fake pop culture.
Yeah.
Because movies are the thing that make pop culture relevant to begin with. So when they have to do it fake, it's always a bit off, but it's quite good.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Now I get you.
What was it? It was the Sandra Bullock movie where she adopted some puppies or something. Is that what they said?
There was one where, no, it was, I think in that one, she was a cop that had to do something because then he was like, I preferred you when you were in rom-coms.
Right. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's interesting. And also, it'd be interesting to be Sandra Bullock and watch that and go, oh, that's what you think of me. You think of me as someone who's in a bunch of movies where I adopt some puppies, you know? that's my life.
I just don't. Surely she can't be mad because the plot rich. Sounded like a Sandra Bullock movie, just dialed up to like one more notch.
Yeah, she was in Miss Congeniality, so.
And Miss Congeniality 2 as well.
Cruise Control.
The congenying. Oh.
The congening? That's pretty
good. That's good too, that's good. Yeah.
I like
the
that.
The congealing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Miss Congeniality 2, Secret of the Ooze.
Yeah, ooh. That's the congealing that we were talking yep. about.
You better get that
get
looked
thick,
at, Sandra.
Crime.
Yeah, ooh.
Number 4 is Klaus, who's the seance. Basically, you can see dead people.
He was my favorite character.
In the first episode, I'm like, oh, this guy's a bit much for me. Yep. And then by the end, I really liked him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because
quite a journey.
He sort of exhibits all the stereotypes of like he's the cool out there guy or like the strung out drug guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, but he's got tattoos that say hello and goodbye, and he's wearing a skirt, and he's scraggly, and he's got the weird hair, and he's so theatrical. This is going to be annoying. And
yeah.
By the end, I'm like, no, this guy's cool.
Yeah,
like,
I know. I had the exact same.
I
thing.
Get it now.
He was. Know? It seemed like he was going to be that guy who played the Joker in that movie.
Oh yeah.
What's his name again?
Jared
Leto.
Yeah. Right. Uh huh.
Yeah. I'm like this. I bet this guy's sending used condoms around the studio or whatever. Which is a thing that guy did, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not good.
But he was, I think he had a great arc. I really liked him a lot. At one point, he accidentally traveled back in time and accidentally fought in the Vietnam War for 10 months.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Fell in love.
Uh-huh.
That's quite a hot, and I mean, we didn't see all that. We just saw him flash away and come back.
Uh-huh.
From one bus to another bus.
Yes.
With a tattoo looking war-torn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a bus trip for you, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I bet he went downtown.
This bus negging from
that's
a tram
right, that's
guy.
Right. Our traditional rivalry. Yeah.
They are your biggest
that's
rivals?
That's right. Taxi drivers.
Oh, taxi drivers.
Rivals, yeah.
Because you share the same tracks.
Road a lot of the time, yeah. Uh-huh.
Those dirty dogs.
That's right. You'll never have a time travel incident on a tram, let me tell you.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a guarantee.
That's a guarantee from me to you.
In a taxi, though, you know, when they take the wrong route or something like that.
It feels like
you know
a bloody time travel,
yeah,
isn't it?
Right?
Bloody,
yeah.
Oh, no.
Where'd my whole afternoon go? Where'd my bloody bank balance go, you know?
Nah, good on taxi drivers. If there are any taxi drivers listening, thanks so much. But I will say this. If you are actually a taxi driver, turn off now. We don't want you here. This is not the podcast for you. You should put your phone in the bin. Stop listening to anything at all. You don't deserve it. Stay on track. Get a bloody GPS. And maybe recommend get the tram if they have one in the city that you're in at the moment.
I really don't feel comfortable being on such a clearly politically biased podcast.
It gets pretty political in
it does,
here.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
You thought this was just going to be an easy peasy breezy podcast about 9/11. Well, it's not.
Wrong I was.
It's going to be about taxi stuff.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that. I'd get a little fired up when I hear my good friend, an internet celebrity, and his people, the tram drivers of Australia and probably the world.
Yep.
Get shamed by these taxi boys and girls. You know, I'm not ruling them out.
Feminist, yep.
Yeah, as
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have spoke.
Yeah, I think I'll take this one.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Thank you.
But I do appreciate the attempt, as a good feminist should.
Oh.
So, yeah, he sees dead people, basically.
Yeah.
And that, but he drugs himself out to stop the sightings of dead people. Mm. He doesn't like it. He's afraid of dead people.
Yeah.
That flashback from when he was a kid.
Oh, His dad locked him in a mausoleum.
Yeah.
That's... Monocle, what a jerk.
He's a bit of a jerk.
At that point, I'm like, I'm starting to think this Monocle man is a bit of a D-bag.
Oh, no.
And I'm sorry to use that kind of language. Yeah, I do apologize for that. But anyway, yeah, so he sent him back. He made small boy number four, aka Klaus, just look like it was quite a while. He locked him in a mausoleum.
Mm.
And there were obviously dead people everywhere.
I think he does say at 1.3 more hours. So yeah. How long initially was it? I don't know.
He said, yeah, it was like, yeah, that felt, I'm like, oh, that's an interesting choice. Because they could have said anything. They didn't have to play that out.
Uh-huh.
3 hours, they must have had a discussion. I would have thought you'd go 3 more days.
Wow.
Just to show him as being a real a-hole. Sorry again for the language.
Wow.
But no, yeah, so I kind of, that didn't make me stop and think for a while. And obviously it connected to you as
sometimes
well.
Sometimes I also think.
Yeah.
That's true.
Hey, ooh, you and I are not so different after all.
That's right. That's what this podcast is about, bringing people together.
Number five is, of course, number five. Okay, the boy. At the age of 13, Five disappears by traveling 38 years into the future. And unfortunately, he arrived just after the world had apocalyzed, apocalypsed.
Yes.
The world ended.
Apocalude.
So
man, this whole place has been apocalude.
You couldn't be mad. It's too fun.
That's true.
So he lived out his life in the post-apocalyptic world and eventually was found by, this is a corporation that's key to the whole story that we haven't talked about. What are they called? The Commission?
The Commission, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they oversee the Order of Time. And make sure everything works as it should.
According to whom, though, is the question.
That never fully comes up.
According
it
to
never
whom?
It does.
No. Why is their opinion the correct one?
Well, they talk about making a successor, which means there must be one person.
One guy, yeah. Right. Or girl.
Or girl.
But, or a monkey.
Oh, yes. Or a chimp.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm learning.
But the commission, they or one of their main representatives, she gives him a job in the future and says, if you basically become an assassin for us,
yes,
to make sure that certain big events continue to occur. And he takes on that job, and then she says, if you do this for 5 years, we'll send you back to whatever time you want.
Mm-hmm.
So it's his only way of getting back home. So then there's a montage of him killing JFK. Well, he kills a few people.
Oh, does he kill JFK?
Yeah, well, he goes down and does he quit just before?
He quits just before he kills JFK, I think, and then somebody else does the job.
Right.
Maybe he was supposed to kill the guy who was supposed to kill JFK.
Oh, I see.
Maybe.
That's
what I was thinking.
Yeah. Okay, great.
So you're supposed to kill the people in the grassy knoll, which means that the current present they're living in anyway is incorrect, which means surely they would have gone back in time to fix it anyway, but they didn't. Unless someone else does the job.
That's funny. I thought, in my head.
Yeah, that is
I
read funny. The assassination of one of our greatest presidents is funny, Matt.
One of our greatest presidents.
That's right.
Is that true?
No, I don't know.
Are you going to start commentating on American politics now?
Yes. It's a multi-layered thing.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'd say it's complicated.
It's complicated, isn't it?
Everyone has opinions.
Yep.
Complicated
is a bit inaccessible. It's tricky.
Tricky.
It's a little tricky, isn't it?
But yeah, I thought he'd killed JFK and then he'd disappeared, and that's why they couldn't find the guy on the grassy knoll. Because he was standing on the grassy patch, but they didn't show him pull the trigger. So
They showed a patch, not a knoll.
Yeah, I don't know what a knoll is. I know Shannon Knoll.
Oh, what
is
about
it like
him?
That?
Yeah, he was named after the assassination of JFK.
Really?
That's what his stage name is based on.
Holy
moly. Yeah, that's right.
Holy noly.
Yeah.
Yuck. Sorry about that.
No editing. You're not allowed.
So that's the boy, number five. Mm-hmm. So he, interesting to me, he feels like the most powerful. In this series, he sort of seems like the most powerful.
Yeah.
But he's all the way down at number five.
Well, I don't know how Hargreaves has graded him, but I think maybe he's also put in their potential, maybe.
Right.
Like the seance. He, in the comic books, he can also fly inexplicably.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because the seance feels like the dud to me. Oh, yeah. He can be spooked.
He can fly and he has telekinesis as well. So, yeah, exactly. Right. So, yeah, in the comic books, he stops the destruction of the world by just sort of shoving the moon out of the way.
Oh,
so,
right. That's
fun. So, yeah.
Oh.
Or that big bit of debris.
But again, because it could be ranking of potential, because in sort of the flashback after Hargreaves is dead and when Klaus dies for a little bit,
yep.
And his dad's sort of like, you haven't even tapped into your potential.
Yes.
And then it's like his dad knows that he could then bring people back to help fight for him, and he could sort of harness that potential further. But yeah, at the moment, like when the series starts, he seems like more of a detective helper. Like,
yeah.
Just ask the dead person how they died.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, totally. Whenever there's a fight that's about to happen, he's running along with him. I'm like, why?
Mm.
Why are you going? Just sit at home.
But sometimes it's good to just get out, you know?
Yeah, that's
just
true. Get out of the house. Get a bit of fresh air.
Mm. Well, they have that when Allison is telling the bedtime story to her kid about, you know, how the Umbrella Academy used to fight crime. Klaus's role is flirting with ghost.
I'd love that to be my day job. So then there's number six, who's the horror, aka Ben, and he's dead from the start of this series.
Not the best power, is it?
Maybe even from the start of the comic books. I think he might have always been dead. But his power was to possess monsters from other dimensions under his skin, and that's usually shown as huge tentacles emerging from his torso. Because he's dead, the seance, Klaus can see him. He's the only one who can see him in the show. But in flashbacks, he's obviously a super powerful thing. He's just like brutally taking down teams of bad guys in a bank heist.
Oh, that was horrible. It's like standing outside the bank being like, I don't want to. Do I have to? And they're like, go in. There's still people. And he comes out just covered in blood being like, I've killed so many people.
You have to do the most murders as usual. Okay.
And you ranked number six, one below the one without powers.
Yes.
Which is number seven, Vanya. Vanya?
Yes.
Okay, the white violin. She's the most estranged member of the group. She originally showcases no particular powers other than an interest in music, but as the series goes on, we find that she is the most powerful of all.
She's the moodiest.
Yeah. And
or is she? No.
The guy...
Justifiably moody.
In the comic book, so there's a guy who comes to her for a violin lesson, and he's clearly something's not quite right with him, and it's slowly revealed that he's basically had a villain origin story.
Yes.
When the monocle told him to piss off.
Yes.
Like, you got no powers. Piss off, idiot.
I cried when that happened.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal.
Oh, anything with, like, if there's a child who gets their dreams, like, just shat on.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, no, they're the future. What are you doing?
They were the future. Now they're nothing.
Oh, yeah. And he just wanted to, like, when he's asking Hargreaves, it's like, you can't let me go back. It's like he just wants to escape.
Yeah.
He's clearly damaged and Hargreaves will never see that.
Yeah, he comes from a...
He's a damager.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's right. There's a few...
bad dad.
Bad dads.
A lot of bad dads, yeah.
What was that guy's name? He had a couple of names.
Leonard
Peabody.
Leonard
Peabody and Harold...
And Maud.
Yes.
Yeah.
Harold and Maud Ramis. Yes. And he... So he... He slowly shows Vanya that she does have the powers, firstly by taking away her medicine, which has been controlling her powers her whole life. Mm. So she's unaware of it because as a child, the rumor told her that she heard a rumor that she was ordinary.
Oh. 'Cause
she was made to do that by the monocle, that dastardly dad. So that's the key. That's the key cast.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's everyone.
Yeah.
And Pogo.
And Pogo, of course. We've talked about Pogo at the start of the show. The mum. Have we talked about the mum? Her name?
Grace.
Grace. And she's the robot created by the monocle to be the mum. We eventually find out that he tried humans, but Vanya kept killing them.
Yes.
Yep.
Because she was trying to make her eat breakfast cereal. Porridge, maybe.
Yep.
And she kept saying, like, that is not how you
make
porridge.
I was going to say, that's not how you make porridge.
It's the only porridge thing you can say, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Hey? We're not so different, you and I.
There was an ad for porridge back in the day.
Back before the day, probably.
Before the early 90s, time.
Yeah. Yep.
Uh-huh. I know that one.
And there was a little kid who would constantly say, that's not how you make porridge.
It was an Uncle Toby's porridge ad.
Oh, why did he speak like that?
Yeah, it was like bad Scottish accent. So.
Eventually. I don't know. Whatever happened to that kid? If you're listening, if you're
Porridge Boy,
if you're Porridge Boy, if you're out there, if you've had your head removed and replaced with the body of an ape, email in.
Come on.
Do you think it was him?
I think maybe it was Porridge
that makes
Boy.
Sense.
Yeah.
Glenn Robbins, I'm pretty sure, parodied that ad on something, Comedy Company or something.
Okay.
Am I right? I'm not wrong.
You're not wrong.
Oh,
as far as I know.
Yeah.
Unless I'm making that up, that'd be a weird thing to do. I guess the other probably quite key characters are Hazel and Cha-Cha.
Oh.
They're sort of secret agents. They're assassins who work for the commission.
Mm.
And they're pretty much there to kill Number Five.
Mm. I really like that as the characters are sort of revealed, part of the mystery is that they have no idea who the Umbrella Academy are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just like, who's this kid? Oh, they don't look like the photo. Oh, my God, their family's weird. Why didn't they tell us about this?
Yeah, they got weird powers. This is harder than it seemed like it was going to be, just killing a child. I thought it was going to be easy.
Yeah.
But no.
What happened? See, that's the thing, because they travel through time, but are all the records of that time destroyed? How did they not know about this?
They might have
come
from the past.
Maybe they came from the past.
Then they also talk about Number Five is famous through the universe. Surely if he's famous, someone's gone, oh, what's his story? Does he have a family? It's never talked about, obviously.
Well, that's true, but I guess he also did have 30 years in an apocalyptic wasteland of nothing. So that's probably the biggest talking point.
Oh,
That's all I talk to him about.
It's also that.
What else did you see? Oh, yeah?
Tell us more about your
girlfriend. They'd also constantly be talking about his mannequin love of his life.
Top half of a mannequin.
Yeah. You're right. Maybe they are from the past because I think they mentioned that all their bullets are from the 30s or the 60s or something like that. So maybe they are from
that.
Yeah.
Because the cops are sort of onto them. They shoot up. There's never at any place is there any CCTV.
Yeah,
I'm
weird,
like, surely
right?
at this at department this store or this huge donut shop. Surely.
No, you turn off the CCTV at night.
Yeah.
No crime happening at night. Exactly.
We
it's
all
too dark.
Know that.
You can't see.
Well, and there's no staff to steal anything. That's what most loss prevention is about in stores. Right. It's preventing the staff from stealing things.
So. I should say my favorite character in the whole thing is the donut lady. She's kind of like a dream pixie girl or whatever they call them, only like a donut lady.
Manic pixie dream girl, but
yeah.
gentle,
like
loving. I thought she was. I didn't think she was so much like, hello, sad man, I'll fix your life.
Oh, yeah, all right. I don't understand what manic pixie dream girl means.
I read an article on it. I think it's sort of meant to be like if someone writes a book that's essentially a self-insert about them meeting a girl who fixes them.
Yeah.
Right, uh-huh. Okay.
So if you watch a movie and it gives the vibes that it could have been written by the male protagonist about being fixed.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And their only dimension is, I'm there to fill. I don't have an. I just flit about in the world and I'm just.
It's fun to be carefree.
I'm fun and carefree. And also I want to open up. I have a dream to open up a donut shop or something like that.
Yeah, so there's some elements of her, but she was kind of just a real nice character.
She was gentle and it seemed like they really helped each other.
Yeah, it was such, and I loved it when they were doing the bird watching. Oh, man. I kept saying, I'm like, out loud, I'm annoying to watch stuff with, but I kept saying, please just let the donut lady survive. Please let her survive. I want this show to end with her looking at birds in the forest somewhere.
Yeah, it would have killed me, like when they're trying to, Mary J. Blige, Cha-Cha is trying to like put her in the tiny sea. Love heart spa.
Yeah.
Sorry. We're just trying to
the littlest sea there is. Yes.
Just trying to put her in the spa and then he's not there and she gets there. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I've not been so stressed in that thing. You're rooting for everyone else, but if she dies, we die.
That's right.
Well, now she is dead. So.
No, she's not.
The world was destroyed.
No.
Didn't she survive?
Yes.
Oh, she did.
Yeah.
Time travel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whew. Yeah, so that's
a relief.
I guess we could talk about the big finish of the whole show. But I just found this fun fact. We're talking about no CCTV. This is off the IMDb fun facts page, the trivia page. It says, even though the events of the series seem to take place in a contemporary setting, no character ever uses a cell phone in any episode. A mobile phone for the Australian listeners.
Oh, okay, I understand now.
Even more so, many characters have to use public payphones or landlines to communicate with other characters.
That's true.
I guess sometimes that is a trick of modern storytelling is like, how do you get away with the fact that anyone could always communicate with anyone? You go, for some reason, there's no cell phones in this world.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's an odd choice because I did notice that as well. They specifically said we're in 2019. in the show. They mentioned the year currently. So they didn't date it to when it was made, and they didn't sort of push it back any further. It's always so strange to realize. I didn't even realize that there weren't mobiles.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a time before. Yeah, like I reckon you didn't realize that? You thought no. Adam and Eve had mobile phones? I'm a creationist.
I think she means in the context of the show.
Right, great.
Okay, cool.
No, but it did always weird me out that she didn't just Google what an apple was.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Right. What is an apple? Okay, Google. Okay. All right, here we go.
No editing. Here we go.
What's an apple?
Hey, Google, what's a furry?
This is the definition of apple. The round fruit of a tree of the rose family, which typically has thin green or red skin and crisp flesh.
Would we call them round?
No, I wouldn't call them round.
Roundish.
Well, I mean, yeah, not a perfect circle. I wouldn't be going that far.
Also, I don't like the idea of anything appley being described as having flesh. It's weird. It's weirded me out.
Really?
Yeah.
I've just realized that anything you eat is flesh, but anything you take off is skin.
Yeah. That's the revelations we have on Prime Mates, the podcast.
Why? Hey, do you eat kiwi skin?
No. Oh. I had a kiwi fruit this morning and I cut the skin off.
Did you cut the skin off or did you scoop the flesh out?
Oh, I cut the skin off. It definitely cost me some of the greenest flesh.
Yeah.
Sorry, Matt.
Is it like you whittle? Are you one of those guys that has an apple and whittles the skin off with a knife?
I was sitting on my rocking chair on the front porch, whittling away my kiwi fruit.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Cool, man.
That would have been so juicy and
what a
mess. I'm sorry.
It went in a smoothie.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So the juicy mess was fine.
Why didn't you just blend up the skin?
I didn't know that was an option. That looks like skin you shouldn't eat.
Oh, no. I eat it. Just eat it like an apple.
That doesn't seem...
No.
No, I'm guessing you're still here.
Yeah.
You seem healthy.
Yeah, I got all that fur in me. It's cleaned out my inside.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to do a bit of a scrub-a-dub.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Do you know the actor Heather Sanderson?
No.
What's her there?
Was she killed from eating too many kiwi fruits?
Oh, she's
you recognize
in
her from the show?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's another scene where a child gets their dream shat on. That's not fair. I hate that. She's the mother of the child who's like, it's Kenny's birthday. And she's just asking if this kid would like to come play with her kid. She's like, hey.
I didn't understand why that was in there.
Why was so mean?
Why did they write that in? It seemed real strange. It's like... Just in case you're not sure, number 5 is an asshole. Right.
Yeah, it just made him look horrible.
Yeah,
it was such a quick thing. I'm like, I guess this is going to come back, cycle back somehow. But it was just in, could have been taken out. Nothing would have been affected.
Maybe it's a little tease for season 2.
But anyway, it says an interesting fact: Heather Sanderson portrays 3 different characters in 3 different episodes.
That's true. She does. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So I don't know why they would have done that. But
what else? What? Who else should she play?
2 other characters.
I'll figure this out.
Also, you were wrong about that Kenny reference never coming back, because if you'll recall, when the place gets stormed by those people in masks who we never find out who they are, Klaus says, do you think they're here for Kenny's birthday? Do you think it was just for the joke? I hope it'll come back later.
I think it probably, probably was just for the joke, I guess.
No. No.
That was a pretty good joke.
Imagine, I don't know, sometimes, because you know when you're watching a film and you're working out who the lines are for, and sometimes it's for the audience and that sort of takes you out of it. Why would he say that? I'm like, imagine you get shot down, you fall down, and you're just like, hey, I think we should put something about a bit over to Kenny. Does everyone remember Kenny from before? I'm bringing it back. It was shelved.
That's also going on a t-shirt. Does anyone remember Kenny from before?
That's good.
She's also the lady on the bus winking at Klaus.
Oh, yes, that's right. Before he disappears to Nam.
She's at the bank robbery. She's at the rave as well, apparently.
Oh, so she's. And I thought, oh, this one person's coming up a lot, but it's apparently playing multiple different characters.
Oh, I didn't even notice there were different people. I mean, the same person.
I don't know if this is interesting or not, but it does relate to primates. The red notebook belonging to Sir Reginald Hargraves is marked with a big golden RH on the cover. RH in biology and genetics is one of the markers in blood analysis and is a shortening of the name of the rhesus monkey. in which it was first studied.
Ooh.
11 out of 15 found this interesting.
Oh, that, no, that's interesting.
I think you should add a little, I'm interested there.
Yeah. Can I get in on this?
I don't know. Give it a little clicky click. Give it a click. See what happens.
On the topic of little tidbits, when Vanya first brings her book down from the bookshelf and like there's a bit of the blurb so you can sort of see a bit of what the book's about, the blurb's written by Gerard Way. It's a little like shout out.
Oh, a little shout out. Yeah. Okay. What
do you think? You know how he obviously created it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in the opening credits of each episode, it says created for TV by a certain guy. Is that a phrase that's often used? It feels like adapted would make more sense, but they've obviously gone... He's recreated it.
Look, it's all politics, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not in the TV industry.
A big negotiation about that. It's just an interesting phrase, created for TV.
Yeah,
by
right. Uh-huh. I don't know. Maybe he's got the skills to convert it over and Gerard Way doesn't because he's an executive producer.
Yeah.
Who knows what that means? I don't know. I'm not in the TV industry.
Well, you've got to get in.
I should get in that TV industry, shouldn't I?
You should.
Guys, let's all get in the TV industry.
Let's get in
it. That's a good idea.
Yeah, let's do it. All right.
All right, let's do it.
Today's
you visit later?
Yeah. Can we do, how about tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow morning, let's star in a network television show.
We'll meet for brunch.
Okay.
Then we'll go down to TV.
Yeah, okay, and, cool. Yeah. All right, nice.
Star in it.
Let me in.
Do you think that would work?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
There's no way it couldn't.
Yeah.
The cameras are there.
Yeah. And they love us. So.
But they do add 10 pounds. Oh, that's something I know about cameras. So let's just have a light brunch.
Light brunch. Okay. All right.
Let's take that skin off the kiwi fruit.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dirty insides for us all.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So Vanya, number 7, her power, we haven't really talked about it. She's the most powerful and her power is sort of like a explode everything around her kind of power.
Uh-huh.
Is that how you describe it?
Well, the first time it comes up, she realizes the power within her while she's playing the violin and absolutely kills it at the violin.
Yeah, it seems to be a sort of an all-encompassing. Just, she can. I mean, it might be a combination of everybody else's powers. Who knows? Like
right.
she convinces the audience that she's the best at the violin. Mm. So maybe that's a little Allison-y.
Maybe her power is good vibes.
Maybe it's good vibes.
Do you think she killed those men with good vibes?
Yeah, I think she destroyed the moon with those good vibes.
Oh, good intention vibes.
Yeah, that's right.
Because the Mr. Peabody, I forget his name.
Leonard.
The guy who was the villain,
mm-hmm.
and had the villain backstory.
He kills me.
It turns out he set up he paid for a bunch of guys to sort of gang up on him and Vanya at a car park. So that she'll get mad and use her powers, which is what happens, killing a few of those guys.
Uh-huh.
All but one.
But then he finishes that job later. Spoiler alert. Sorry, I should have said spoiler alert.
Really?
Yeah. We see him in the bushes somewhere. He's chucked out of the body. He definitely he killed the remaining guy. Because remember they said he left hospital? He left in a body bag.
No, I missed that.
Mr. Peabody.
That murderer's
bag.
A bad guy.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
he
right.
turned out to be quite a bad guy. But then he really,
He kept me on the fence, though, for a lot of it. I'm like, is this a regular guy? Is he a regular?
There was
a regular guy.
There were moments I thought maybe it's a fake out.
This guy seems pretty regular, you know? He's keeping it regular. He's eating some All Brand. He's staying regular.
What was his game plan? Because he's trying to bring out the big power of... Number 7 of Vanya.
Mm.
What's in it for him? What's his end game?
Well,
he wants to just be sidekick to an all-powerful supervillain?
He seemed to as well. He kept isolating her from her family and was angry at them and like back at the thing he like melted the faces off of his dolls. So I think he was trying to kill the rest of the Umbrella Academy while still being a part of it. Because as a kid he was born on the same day and just had a horrible, horrible life and it kills me. But maybe that's a way to sort of tie up both ends of being like, I'll get revenge, but I'll also be the part of the thing I've wanted since I was a kid.
Right. I'll start a new two-person
And
Umbrella
she's
Academy.
Like me. So if I unlock her powers, maybe I'll have some powers.
Ah, right.
Powers to murder.
Yes. Ooh. Which is sad, because he does kill a lot of people.
He sure does.
And then she ends up killing him in a super brutal way.
Yeah.
With lots of sharp things. Though.
Yeah. Oh, in that moment. So I'm going, what's
guys,
his...
how do we want to die? We want to die in a super cool way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The cooler, lot the better. Of
knives. I want to die from Dark Matilda.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what we're calling Vanya. She is Dark Matilda.
The darkest Matilda.
Evil Amelie.
He starts banging on the book. He tells her that the way she can control the power is by isolating a sound.
Uh-huh.
And then he gives her a sound to isolate as he's like, she's found out that he's been bad this whole time.
Uh-huh.
And he's isolating a sound for her and going, no, you're nothing without me. I helped you. And he's making a sense like, what do you think's going to happen now?
I don't know.
When that started, I was like, oh, he's doing it on purpose. And then it was like, no, this can't end well for him. She's so mad.
It made no sense. I'm like, are you trying to get her to kill you?
Maybe, though.
Mm. Well, I guess he had his way.
Yes.
And then so they figure out that she's the one who caused this apocalypse that they're all worried about the whole time. And, yeah.
Oh, my God, it's Vanya. She's causing the apocalypse. We were worried about this whole time.
Yeah, that's
real
right.
Real dialogue.
Yeah, I'm getting that on a T-shirt. And can you explain to me the final scene, how it all came down in the end? She's playing a violin, her first headlining set as a violinist.
She's rocking it out. She's doing some rock violin.
In the first chair.
Yeah.
Also, she does her double good vibes thing, and sometimes it's bad vibes, I'll admit. But she does her good vibes things, is playing the violin. She's killing it. And then she kills it, and then everyone, like, the blasts start happening and everyone starts running away, and then she does another good vibes on her violin and everyone in the orchestra sits down and keeps playing.
Mm. Right. That's
right. She should have kept up with those good vibes. Everyone would have had a great time.
Oh, she should have sent them out into the audience as well, because the audience kept fleeing.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Yeah.
She finally realized her dream, which I guess it would be hard to reconcile being like, I got here because someone who liked me killed my competition.
Yeah. It was like a comedian who's just playing to the other comedians in the back. Like she's just playing for the rest of the orchestra. She should have been playing for that audience.
So she's going, she's going for sort of more risque
material.
Strikes on the
violin. I'll
walk
this room, I don't care. Yeah. Here we go.
And then, so this is all bringing the moon's exploding somehow. Yeah. Uh-huh. Why did that happen? But anyway, the moon starts to explode.
How does it happen?
She sort of sent a beam into it.
Yeah, so Allison's right behind her. So Vanya's got all of the other, like, fantastic umbrellas.
Yes.
She's caught them all up. Allison's behind her. She no longer has a voice, so she's sort of not been able to do much. But she's got a gun to her head. Vanya is distracted, suspending all of her siblings, and she has the choice to shoot her.
Yeah.
And she doesn't. She shoots just to the right of her head, so Vanya gets distracted by a very loud gunshot. Obviously a very loud noise breaking whatever she was concentrating on. The resonant noise stops, and then all her power shoots forth from her into the moon, and the moon blows up. And
it's pretty sick.
Destroys the earth.
Worth it, I reckon, because it's
totally worth
it.
This whole, I think something I thought was really cool, and like, you know, when you get a bit satisfied, frustrated at a TV show, you're like, oh yes,
yeah.
The way they use, because there's always that thing in time travel when it's like it was always going to happen like this. They do manage to keep changing the past, but it all still happens.
Yeah, right.
And we were discussing this off air.
Oh no.
After number five goes back, he figures out the one person they need to kill is that Leonard guy, and he's like, I have to go back and help everyone. But by going back, he ruins everything.
Yeah.
If he had not gone back, because Vanya had just found out that Leonard was betraying him, and she'd found out herself, so no one had told her about it, so it was her own choice, so she finally would have had autonomy and a decision for her life.
That's right.
Which is really what she was searching for.
Exactly.
Allison
and Luther had a little dance, had a little kissy kiss.
Had a smooch.
Yeah,
dancing in the moonlight.
They're never going to have that smooch again.
No.
Yeah.
That was weird. That was a weird, like, dream sequence. They changed clothes.
Uh-huh.
Lighting changed.
It was real.
That was my least favorite scene of the whole series.
Was it your least favorite dance sequence of the whole series?
Yes, that too.
Well, okay.
I was like, what is this? Anyway, but I guess they were just trying to show us a beautiful moment.
Yeah, they were just trying to be like, look how happy they are. This is how they feel.
I probably
look stupid.
I like those characters. I really like number one. He's sort of like a big idiot. Very naive, sort of. He's the leader, but he's not a very good leader. And
he's the leader in that he got that role at 13 and nothing changed.
Yeah. It's the biggest suck up.
And he never left.
Oh, no, he'll hear you.
He doesn't have super hearing, he's fine.
Do you reckon he was sad that the moon died because that was his house?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm never getting my bond back. Oh.
I've still got some stuff up. My records are up there.
That's
right. No. So the moon blows up. And they're all sitting around going, oh, no, the world's coming to an end anyway. We weren't able to stop it. And number five is like, oh, there's one thing we could do. I could take us all back in time. Mm-hmm. And they still discuss it. The asteroid's flying towards them.
You've got two choices. We can go back in time or the total destruction of us and everybody else in the world. You sure?
And they go through each of them.
Let's bring up a whiteboard. Let's put up some pros and cons.
They never say they're going back in time.
No, what do they say?
They said we can use my ability to time travel, I'll take us all.
Oh.
And it's like, can you do it? I don't know. So maybe it's a risk that they'll all die anyway, and it's like, choose your own.
I think so too, yeah.
And there's also there's a question asked, should we be taking Vanya? She caused all this destruction. Should we be taking her? And the logic was that they would take her because...
She's still the cause of the apocalypse no matter what they do. Yep. So if they can fix her, then the apocalypse can't happen.
Right.
And if they can't, just snap her neck real quick.
Yeah.
They do leave
that's what they mean by fix her.
Yeah, that's what they mean, yeah. Give the old chiropractic.
They leave a violin behind, though.
Yeah.
They don't the pick that violin. Up.
Good call.
Why did the violin turn white? Apart from the fact that she's known
it's
as
like
the
an
white
old
violin.
Dog poo. That's right. Yeah. They left it out too long, and that's,
So she started, it was a wood paneled, classic looking violin.
Mm. Yep.
Her clothes are white too. Black, right.
The effect of the moon exploding had the same effect on dog poo as time does.
Yes. That's correct.
And the violin became white. Wow. Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah. That's amazing.
Weird and powdery. Crush it underfoot.
Yeah.
Throw it at your mates,
No! It's dry. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It bounces right off. So just brush it off.
No, it's in my clothes.
Kids will not know about this. There's no more white poo anymore. People don't leave dog poo out anymore.
That's true.
So you never see white dog poo anymore.
I can't wait for your album.
This is...
Bring it back. It's PC gone, man,
isn't
it?
It is PC gone, man.
Poo culture.
I think that's another thing in, the post-9/11 world. You just don't see it. Pre-9/11, it was all about white poo.
That's right.
It was a different time. Really had far range.
Well, we brought it all together on this podcast about primates.
And you got... I found the ending a bit frustrating. Like, it's so we're just going to travel
in time.
Because
they can time travel again, is what
you're
saying.
It's like, it sort of like means nothing really matters. But. But how did you feel about it?
I was excited because I really like the characters, so I want to see more of them.
Same.
But also, the fact that there's so much left undone in terms of what all their powers can do, because they all seem to have, as I said, the first limit and then, extra, which a couple of them have discovered, but surely all of them have it.
Yes.
But then also, because they're saying that we can't stop the apocalypse because it's Vanya, we just need to fix Vanya. So it's like a new thing. But I did think, it's boring if they're just going to be doing that. That always makes me bored in superhero movies where it's like, control your powers. They're like, I can't. It's like, let
go.
Remember
who you are.
Let go. Yeah. Think of your feelings. I can do it. I did it. Yes. Yes. That's why I liked this. It started when they were like, okay, there are superheroes. Next.
Yeah. that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, when you put it like that. It's not that I don't like the characters. I want to see a second series. I just thought maybe they could have found a satisfying way to stop the apocalypse and then create
maybe
a new apocalypse
in season two, Matt.
True.
Yeah.
Also, I think are they going to be kids for some of season two?
Oh, right.
Because they go back into their childhood forms, I guess.
Oh, yes. They must be going back in time then.
Yeah, right.
No, you're so right. They must be going back in time because that's how he became a kid again.
So does that mean they're going to replace the child versions of themselves in the past, or are they going to meet childhood versions of themselves in the past?
Oh.
They're going to meet a young Pogo.
And does that mean that the cast, the major... Oh, that means Pogo...
He's going to be wearing bell bottoms and...
Aww.
We should say...
Little peace sign. Amulet.
Pogo did... He was killed by Vanya.
Yeah.
Because she found out that he knew she had powers all along.
Mm.
But he was... There didn't seem like there was a mean bone in his body, right?
No, he seemed to be sort of the... keeper of all of you know, his creator's secrets, which you can get.
Yeah.
And you can see that everything he was doing, he was, like, in essence, in his own way, everything Hargreaves was doing was for the better of humanity as a whole.
Yes.
So you can...
He believed to be, anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't think he was lying about it at all. He wasn't right, but he believed it.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was a pretty sad moment when Pogo, he's sort of like no aggression at all, which is rare for an older chimp.
That's true, yeah.
she flung him against the deer antlers. Do you think that was representing anything, Mason?
They are natural enemies, aren't they?
Yeah.
The chimp and the moose.
Yeah. Well, or the reindeer or whatever it was.
You could argue as well that when Pogo gets flung back, his arms go stuck out. And he's impaled. Yeah, and he did, by distracting Vanya, just manage to allow everyone else to escape.
You think they were using, like, Christian iconography sort of stuff to... You were saying... Are you telling me...
That's a clever ruse.
I do want to say as well, that is the first time you see Pogo is wearing no shoes.
Oh, oh right.
Okay. Not as in he
was... And no
was...
pants. Just swinging about. Ooh, hey! Yeah, that's right.
That does make some sense. In a previous episode, we talked about the show... Lancelot Link's Secret Chimp, and the actors were played by real chimps back then because it was in a pre-9/11 world back when animal actors were more common. The chimps did not wear shoes because they, apart from one, were really uncomfortable in shoes. So that makes sense. Maybe it's an homage to real chimps.
Yeah.
Don't like wearing shoes. The ones who did wear shoes in that show, there was no bottoms on the shoes.
Yeah, right.
Oh, fair.
So it was sort of fake shoe flaps.
Yep.
Do you think that's what it was? Do you think it was an homage to Lancelot Link's Secret Chimp?
Yeah, I reckon.
Yes, absolutely. I reckon too. I reckon.
And okay, great. Well, let's put that to one side.
Okay.
So their kids now going back in time. Does that mean the cast is scrapped?
No, I think that maybe they'll be. I think that maybe they'll be their childhood selves for a bit.
Right.
Maybe a couple episodes.
And then I think that's fun. Yeah. I'm enjoying that. I was just thinking then the whole time travel thing. Because I was watching this series at the same time as I was flicking between it and Russian Doll, which is another Netflix series.
Oh, yeah.
Which is similar sort of restarts the day all the time. And I had no problem with that, sort of Groundhog Day effect. So I don't know why it worries me. It just feels like she couldn't control that. But these guys, one of them has the power to just go, all right, it's all going to shit. Let's go back in time again.
It is established, though, that there's a limit to how much he can jump.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
So maybe that comes into play as well. Like, because he jumps a few times and then can't do it anymore. And when he jumps back in time or forward in time, like a few times in a row, he cannot get back for ages.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you definitely notice way more stuff than I do. It's so good to have you here.
I feel like my eyes were too open the whole time. I was sitting on my couch eating a Smarties block, being like, my eyes hurt and I love Pogo.
Yeah. Pogo's the best. Pogo and the Donut Lady.
Oh.
And the guy who played Ed
Kemper.
Oh, that's
a spin-off show.
Oh,
let's hope let's hope they both survive and then they solve mysteries.
Pogo and the Donut Lady.
Pogo and the Donut Lady.
Love that. Yeah. That'd be real cool. There's also the Donut Lady's love interest who was not Cha-Cha, but
Hazel,
who's played by this guy who plays Ed Kemper in Mindhunter.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
As a very similar character. Oh. I'm like, it's either Ed Kemper is a lot like this guy or...
He's been typecast as a...
He's been typecast, yeah, sort of gentle giant killer.
Yes.
I have a theory as well. It's not quite related to primates, but I think a really attractive feature... Not romantically or anything, but is gentleness. Like anytime someone has their favorite thing, maybe it's a sort of coming of the times, like a change in culture, but everyone's favorite things, everyone respects gentleness now much more. Like Donut Lady, Hazel, Pogo, they're also gentle.
True.
And I love them too. I think my favorite character is Klaus also gentle vibes. As destructive as he can be, he's got a gentle heart.
He's got a gentle soul, yeah.
He does. He just loves Dave. That was another thing that Number 5 ruined by going back in time to essentially enact everything he didn't realize. Klaus never got to see Dave. He was too busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Klaus, did we talk about this on the podcast? Annoying at the start.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Annoying at the start, 100%.
We did a pre-show podcast where we talked too much about the show.
Always a mistake. Never say anything if you're not being recorded. Yep.
It feels so dangerous and risky as you start talking. Like, ooh, will this be funny if I say it twice? Yes.
It'll be funnier. Don't even worry. But if it isn't, just say it a third time. And it'll be funnier again. So
rule of threes, but it seems like a rule of twos. It feels like you've broken comedy in the best way. Yes. That's a comedy hack. Start your joke off stage.
Get to that punchline.
Warm it up.
Warm it
up. Yeah.
Get out, do the punchline. Get off. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, geez, that was efficient.
Yeah.
And that's what the best comedy is.
Efficient.
Short and sharp.
Yep.
Now let's go get dinner. Now, the show, we have a rating system here at Primates.
Oh, okay.
And that is out of a certain amount of bananas, you get to choose how big the bunch is, how many bananas you give it, and how ripe are those bananas? Rating this whole series.
Is ripe good?
Well, that's up to you.
Okay. I'm going to say 4 bananas, 1 skin. The level of ripeness before you're like, this is for cake now.
Right, okay. So it's sort of that browny yellow.
Yeah, it's starting to. You're like,
it still holds its form.
Yeah, it's like, it's sweet.
Yeah.
But you know that you've got a choice of, and they're both good choices. You're like, this is either going to be a delicious banana in this second, or I get cake.
Cake tomorrow.
Yeah.
Banana, or smoothie. Bread, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. There's two types of people, banana bread. / cake or banana smoothie.
Yeah.
Or a third type, if you'll recall 5 years ago when Yo Na Na's came out.
Oh.
Make it into a healthy ice cream alternative.
Yeah. They were big. Just mushed up frozen banana.
Yeah, but the machine is what got you going.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize you came from wealth.
No, I never owned one. I don't like bananas.
Oh, I'm so sorry to make you do this.
No, it's okay.
Mason, how do you rate it?
Give it a whole bunch of bananas.
Whole
just,
bunch.
Just a big old bunch of bananas, because there's a lot of moving parts in this show. Big old bunch of bananas. Pretty bloody ready to eat, you know, just right in that golden spot.
Yeah.
Not quite mush.
So you loved it. You loved it.
I loved it.
What are you going to treat?
Shut up, guys.
You loved it.
Shut up, guys. Gonna go.
Smooch it with your banana lips.
No. Yeah.
I think I'm pretty similar. I really loved it a lot. I think you've made me feel better about the ending. I nearly every time I finish a series, the same thing happened at the end of Russian Doll. I normally say out loud, endings are hard. Cuz they are. I know they are. Writing an ending is very hard.
Yeah.
So it's always tricky and it's hard to make it satisfying. But yeah. You've made me feel better about it. I forgot about the limits to the power of the time travel, which is cool. So I think I'm going to give it 7 out of 8 bananas. And, yeah, just in that real sweet, perfect, ripe spot where you can eat it. Mm. Eat it today. Don't make banana bread tomorrow with what you can eat today.
That's right.
Do not delay. I like that. That was better.
It's going on a T-shirt.
Yeah. Jeez, we're going to have a whole bloody heap of T-shirts after today. The other thing we do at the end of the episode is Andy Matthews is a scientist who's a regular guest on this episode. He's some sort of scientist.
Some sort of scientist. It's a bit vague, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bit vague what he is.
Yeah, he studies
science.
Some things
aren't for us to know.
Yeah.
I said he's regularly been a guest on this episode. That's a lie. He's regularly been a guest on this show.
Okay.
You didn't miss him sneaking in and out.
Okay.
But he said in the first episode that chimps and humans share about 98% DNA. Now, how much of yourself do you see in Pogo in terms of personality, you know, physicality, whatever? What's your percentage out of 100 between you and Mr. Pogo?
Okay. Well, parts of me were also designed at Weta Digital.
Is that true?
So, yeah. That's why my mouth gives off this weird, like...
Yeah, it's not quite right, is it? It's 99% of the way there, but it's not quite,
Oh, my gosh. That's what I thought about looking at Pogo so much.
Yeah, it was,
just
something
staring
in the
at
mouth.
His...
That's something in the mouth.
I think it's because there's never a static moment with a human. You know the difference between if you see a photo of something or if someone's filming something still? Like, you can tell. There's never static moments with humans. And if you made mouths more choppy in... like CGI, it would look wrong. But human mouths are sharp.
Yep.
They do real crisp things and we can't get that middle ground yet.
Right.
So, yeah, I'd say 93.
Wow, that's a lot.
93%.
Yeah,
that's pretty
gentle,
good.
But, and your mouth is a bit weird.
Yeah, it's not uncanny valley. You get that from talking to me.
Yeah, I do. Yep. Mesa, how about you?
I'm pretty up there as well. I do like a cardigan. I like a cardigan, and I've got a stoop. So, you know, and I've got a bit of grey in the old facial hair.
His fashion was great, and I love a salt and pepper beard, especially on a chimp.
That's right.
So he's becoming silverback?
Yeah, I guess silverback chimp. Yeah. Maybe.
Is that because Hargraves died?
Oh, now maybe.
He's the king of the castle. Yeah,
he was a sub-prime mate. Now he's the prime mate.
I'm not sure. I don't know if chimps go silverback. I always thought of it as just the gorillas. And obviously there'll be some... I'm an amateur primatologist. I want to stress that.
Sub-primatologist.
There's some probably primatologists out there that who aren't self-taught like me who probably know the answer to this. Probably finding this very frustrating, so I apologize to them.
But they didn't pull themselves up by their bootstraps.
That's right. Yeah. That was me.
Yeah. Huh? Like to hear their podcast, probably bloody...
Probably really great, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I wasn't being sarcastic. I would like to hear their podcast. I think it'd be good.
I think I'm much like you guys in the 90s.
Yeah, 90% maybe. Yeah.
I would say I hope to be.
And he's doing his best, you know? He's doing the best he can, you know? I'm barely trying, but I could. One day I could try my best, you know?
Oh, no. You're going to Vanya on us all. You've got to try 100% every day.
100% every day.
Don't concentrate on the sound and explode us or whatever happened there.
All right, I won't.
thank you so much.
That's what they should have done.
please don't.
Okay, I won't.
Oh, thank God. That's great. I think, I want to transition into pogo-style fashion soon.
Put on a little tie and a cardigan? Okay, yeah. Just
back half of my life, that's what I want to be. I want to look like an old man from my childhood.
Great. What do you think you're going to do the switch?
Are you going to
ease into it?
Do I ease in? Because I'm a real T-shirt and
I was going to say you're going to do a T-shirt and tie one day. Just ease into that. Yeah, just wear a tie now. Just put it around.
I think a sneaky way is on cooler days wearing a button-up shirt. Sleeves rolled up. Don't button it all the way.
Okay.
On colder days, blazer.
Okay.
Put a little blazer on, yeah.
Start
with chinos, yeah.
The halfway point between tracksuit and...
tweed.
Yes.
Yep. Uh-huh. That's on a T-shirt as well.
And start wearing...
chinos, the halfway point between tracksuit and tweed and then an arrow pointing down. Two arrows pointing down to your legs.
Now, the final thing we do on the show is we thank a few patrons for the Do Go On Podcasting Network. They've told me their favourite primates. I'll tell them to you. Let me know if you got a comment on it. Sure, please. If you want to. No pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You can support this show and the network at Do Go On. No, what is it?
Patreon.com/DoGoOnPod.
And this week's Do Go On, which is the mother of this podcast, mm-hmm. I suppose, the pogo of this podcast, the grace of this podcast.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This week's episode is with guest Naomi, no, hang on. No, it's not. It's with me, Matt Stewart.
You're Matt Stewart.
Doing the report.
Nice.
Hey.
And I do it about one of my all-time favourite bands, Tism.
Oh.
Just recorded it and it was a lot of fun. I feel pressure on it being any good because I know their fans are pretty into it.
Is there a video of you on YouTube singing a Tism song? It exists there somewhere.
I've
seen it.
No, there is. Yeah. It was filmed by Sans Pants man Joel Dusha.
Yeah.
And yeah, there was a Tism tribute night at the Hi-Fi.
That's when we met.
Oh, that's when we met. Were you on the floor as well?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wait, how on the floor?
Like, well, Dusha was lying on his back on the floor in the middle of the pub.
Ooh, maybe I
he's a. Remember. Would you say he's a loose unit?
Oh, I would say he's the loosest.
Yeah, I think he might be the loosest unit I know. And I know some loose units.
That's right.
Anyway, so our Patreon supporters... Yeah, it's good to meet you again.
Oh, lovely. So glad we nutted that out.
And was your cardboard cut out here for a photo shoot one time?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
I couldn't be there in person, so I sent my proxy, which is the cardboard cut out.
Good call. Yep.
So, excellent. So we've met a few times in different forms, different amounts of D, 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Oh.
That sounded worse than I intended it to. Oh. Testing that editing rule. firstly, I'd love to thank Patreon Jacob Miller. He says, when asked what his favorite primate is, he said, I'm going to have to say the black snub-nosed monkey, not because it's actually my favorite, but because it is a creature of nightmares. Oh, goodness.
Oh,
might look Google, this up.
Google, Google, Google.
Black snub.
Well, I'm gonna rate that poorly because he's supposed to send in his favorite and it's not his favorite.
Yeah, he sort of, oh, yeah.
But is it the stuff of nightmares?
Yeah.
That can still be a favourite.
It's real. That doesn't look like a real thing.
Oh, yeah, no, that looks like...
It's had its nose sliced off and collagen in the lips.
That's right.
It looks like an alien mid-transformation to turning into a human. Like, you know, when they try and morph in halfway. Yep.
Mm-hmm. It also it looks like borderline to cute, but it's just the, the nose.
It's that uncanny valley to cute.
Yeah. Everything else about it, apart from the face.
Let's have a look again.
It's kind of got a bit of a Michael Jackson-y, late Michael Jackson nose thing going on.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what I reckon how it's a bit half cute? Cute is usually really big eyes.
Right.
They've got the big swapped around.
Yeah. And they are very puffy. Puffy's cute.
Adorable. And it's so fluffy.
Yeah.
But the face is completely furless. And you've just got two little slits for nose holes.
Yeah.
Oh, sneezing would be the worst.
Or it'd be really easy because it's just right out there.
Easy sneezing.
It'd be easy for you. Just pfft, done.
Just the idea that a booger can hang in and out at the same time, I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that very much. I'd rather everything... I love that gravity can help with this process. I want to be as not involved as possible.
That's true. You don't want your boogers to be on the fence, do you?
No.
Pick a side, boogers.
Pick a side. Anyway, thank you so much, Jacob, for your support. Also, Ian Whitehead, he says his favourite primate is the pygmy marmoset, because they are the smallest primate and seem pretty cool to chill with. You familiar with the pygmy marmoset? This is a very adorable primate.
Oh my goodness! Oh.
Yeah, they're very very adorable.
Oh, that's pretty adorable.
So sweet. How big?
Well, you can see they're like small bananas there. So it's a teeny tiny.
Or now imagine him in a little coat or a little cardigan
on a finger there.
Jeez, Louise. So they're, oh yes. Good one, Ian.
They're hand size. You put them in your pocket. They're very cute little critters. Very cute. And that is a fantastic suggestion that has come up before as well, I think. There's definitely some fans out there. And I think it wasn't even on the shortlist that I put together for the 2018 Primate of the Year, but it will be on there for the 2019 Primate of the Year.
Yeah.
Georgie Fuentes says their favorite primate is an old school silverback gorilla.
Yeah, that's right.
They're massive, furious apes. You want to get up close to them, but you're scared at what they're capable of.
Yeah. Oh, that's a cool answer.
That'd be the moment. Like, you'd get right up to him and you're like, is he going to chase me? Which is terrifying but fun. Or is he going to be like, come here? And then come here.
And he does a little noogie on your head.
Yeah, maybe he picks me up and puts me on his back. Then we ride around.
And you're friends for life.
Friends for life, exactly. Yeah.
That moment, that sliding doors moment.
Yeah. I think you couldn't do that. I think you'd have to slowly work your way up to being friends. Like, I'd have to go to the zoo a lot and, like, give him a little wave.
Wait, he's in a zoo? I thought he was your friend. Why did you put him in a zoo?
He needs boundaries, you know? This is just the one I've seen at the zoo.
Is he a real silverback then if he didn't have the natural ability to mingle with others and become the alpha?
Good question. Maybe they send in some lesser monkeys and he bashes them or something. You know?
Golly.
Bless the right.
These are just bashing monkeys.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't let the children see
that's right.
These.
And finally, so thank you so much, George. And finally, Scott Porter says, ringtail lemur, just because.
Well, like ring-tailed lemur.
Oh no!
That's right, I'll say it.
You're not a lemur man. They're a classic looking...
No, they're pretty good.
They're pretty cool. King Julius certainly was a divisive moment in lemur culture.
Yeah, look. Yeah. I had that ready to go regardless of what he would have said.
Right.
A monkey, more like lemur.
Yeah. They're stripy tail, so good. Can't get better than that.
That's true.
You can't.
You can't do it.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck if you want to.
Good luck seeing
one photo there?
Next to a fence.
Yes, there's the photos.
Yep.
These guys come up a bit because they have stink fights, and we enjoy that about them. They rub stink into each other and sort of throw stink at each other. And then the winners will get to bone on top of cactuses.
I see.
According
why
to one
so
David
good.
Attenborough documentary you're watching.
Hey. I'd say that's a really valuable source.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. Aww. Hopefully it wasn't too confusing to people. I should have come in with a better plan. It was real scattergun, and it was three people talking about a series they've just binged over the last 3 or 4 days.
You just want to watch one more episode.
Yeah,
you just want to really do watch one, and then you're like, no, maybe I'll just stay up a little bit later and watch another episode.
You know what? I think that really the draw card is that it's not quite an hour. So if you're like, it's an hour long, that's 54 minutes. You know what? That extra 6 minutes is going to give me time to apply like an essential oil sleeping balm. I'm going to brush my teeth.
True, yep.
I'll have a snack. Even if I pause and start getting ready for bed in the meantime.
That's right, yeah.
It gives me time.
You're going to brush your teeth and then have a snack? That's insane.
What do you do with 6 minutes is mad.
Yeah.
What, have you got a time machine?
Yeah.
Oi!
Now, where can people find you, Cass?
You can find me on Sans Pants Radio. That is, oh, do you mean socials or listens?
Wherever you like.
Wherever you like.
All my socials are Cass Page. Page with an I, not like Ellen Page. It's just not that cool. I'm on Sans Pants Radio. I'm on D&D is for Nerds if you like Dungeons and Dragons. I'm on Shut Up a Second if you like bantery comedy. And I'm on Why Am I Sad if you like feelings.
Hey, who doesn't?
Hate him.
Oh, hate him.
Oh, no.
Hate him, yeah, sorry.
And Mason Wickham.
I've put all my feelings into building a robot or befriending a monkey. That's what I do.
And where can people find you?
I'm on the podcast The Weekly Planet. I just had to think about that, but I'm definitely on it. Which is part of Planet Broadcasting. Just go to planetbroadcasting.com. There's all kinds of podcasts if you want to check those out.
Your voice at the start and the end of this episode. Sure, and is the middle.
Yep. It's in the whole bit. The whole bit, except for this bit. No, I couldn't hold it. No, I'm in this bit as well.
Oh, no. Bloody Meso everywhere, more like it.
That's right.
And they can find you online at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
Yes, that's right.
And Nick Masow on...
Somewhere on Instagram. I'm on there as well.
You'll never give it away.
Yeah, that's...
Even when prompted.
It's hard to say and spell.
It's something like Nick Masow.
It's N-I-C-K-M-A-S-E-A-U. I don't know why I did that. Should have just been a lot of O's.
I thought it was Nick Masow, like to differentiate yourself internationally.
Maybe it was. Maybe that's how I meant it.
And people can find Primates at Primates Pod on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. They can find me on Twitter at MattStew_art or MattStewartComedy on Instagram and Facebook. And my comedy website, MattStewartComedy.com/gigs, will show you where all my upcoming tours are. I'm about to be in Adelaide, possibly in Adelaide right now. I'm not sure. And then I'm going to Brisbane for the Comedy Festival and then Melbourne for the Comedy Festival and then Sydney for their Comedy Festival. So come check me out at those places. That'd be really cool. And use the discount code to go on for a discount if you want to. Now, the way we normally finish this show is with a catchphrase, a sign-off. And it's riffed in the moment. Meso's sort of worked up one over his last couple of episodes. Do you want to have a crack at riffing a classic Primate sign-off for the show? Don't give it away yet. It's going to be the final thing we say. Are you happy to do that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great.
I was about to say it.
Nick, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Matt.
You're the best in the biz. It's such an honor to have you here.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And Cass, you
say
too.
Say more nice things about me. There's no time. There's no time.
You have a nice head.
Thank you.
No worries. Hey, I say that to all my guests, but you in particular. Yeah. And your silverback.
It's true.
It's illustrious.
It's true.
Cass, thanks so much for joining us for the first time here in the Monkey House. And as we always say on the show,
It's fine to be prime. Prime time, crime time. Don't get a lime if you want to be prime. But we'll always be mates.
That is what we always say. Thanks so much for joining us.
Chimp you later.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.